there. Wow, I love you. You're my family, and you are in my heart even when I'm not here. So it's a joy to be back. I'm just feeling the fabulous energy in this room. This place is prayed up. Thank you, Thelma. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Sherry, Reverend Sherry. Woo-hoo. And thank you, John Paul Smith. Wow. So today, you know, we enter the season of light. I heard that already from Sherry. And so when I think about the season of light, it's interesting because we all know it's the darkest time of the year. And you know, the intention for this time of the year, everything goes dormant. We see our trees dropping their leaves. We see many animals going actually into hibernation. The days are shorter, the nights are longer. It's actually an invitation to us to be still, to go within, to rest. How are you doing with that? Yeah. And so what we do during this season in our culture and in many places, some of us, not all of us, because some of us are just perfect and we wouldn't dream of this, but, you know, we celebrate, we put up the lights, which is good, actually. I love that part. You know, we eat, we buy gifts, we rush around in busyness getting ready to celebrate even more, right? It's sort of an avoidance technique from doing what we're invited to do. Because when we get still and go deep, this is what the purpose and could be for us, is to go within and just notice what's really present. Because sometimes there's stuff in there that causes us to react in life. It causes us to be uncomfortable, feel frustrated, be afraid, feel pain. If there's anybody, so when you get quiet and you listen within, just to see what's present, how you feeling, what's going on. Do you do that very often? If you notice anybody doesn't have safe passage through your mind, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. So by taking a little time away to notice what's present, the idea is that in this restful, re-energizing, nourishing time, we can bring it up into the light, actually letting go of it, letting it be healed. If there's any resentment, unforgiveness, guilt, do you remember when I was here, I told you I removed my guilt button? You can't push it anymore. I did tell you that my husband informed me that he was the one who could reinstall it. So that's our ongoing joke. If anybody's trying to make you feel guilty about the smallest thing, leaving the sprinklers on too long or whatever it is, could you just, like, not let the button be pushed? So it's about letting go of the past. Honestly, are you ready to put up a stop sign and say, that is not who I am, that is not the reality of me right now? I am the presence of light. I'm the presence of love. I am the divine wisdom of the universe itself. I am peace. I am grounding peace. I am wholeness. And I am joy. This is the season of joy. But I do think it's important for us to notice what's present and cast it out to make space for what our hearts really, really want. Are you ready to do that with me?
Yes.
Okay, let me see what else I'm supposed to tell you today. I don't know. I'm ready to do that. I'm sure there's some great quote here I'm supposed to read. I don't know. Let's see. I can't really read my notes. I'm so with you right now. So so we have four things to really create happiness and fulfillment in our lives. Happiness and fulfillment. So happiness is a, you know, that sense of comfort and satisfaction and joy. I looked it up. Fulfillment actually comes from a sense of accomplishment, from doing something, or a sense of, yeah, really, a sense of accomplishment. We feel fulfilled when our life is rich, right? So the first thing we need to do is cast out the past. The second thing really is to invite what we really want. Really get it. And so by going into the quiet, giving yourself that rest time this whole month, maybe even beyond, and discovering what it is that lights me up. What's my gift? Who am I? What do I love? What do I want? Yes?
Yes.
We really are called to focus on that and only that. I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I'm in my third marriage, So I will just say that right up front because I'm going to talk about my second husband and me. So, you know, when I say my second husband, I want you to know that my first and second husband are family. We love each other. My first husband, especially, father of my children, is in my home frequently, he and his wife. And my second husband lives in Missouri. The last time I was at Unity Village, he came and we had lunch. We are good friends. We are good friends. And this is only possible because there's no unforgiveness. There's no resentment. There's nothing that hurts anybody anymore. We're all about love. But that isn't my point. My point was, so when in our second marriage, my second husband, in his first marriage, had gone through a bankruptcy. Turned out that his wife was opening credit cards and hiding bills from him, and he didn't know about it. And when it finally came to a point that it was overwhelming, they went through bankruptcy. And then they separated and got divorced, and then he married me. And we were living down in San Diego, and he got a job. He was transferred to North County to Vista. And I could transfer to, in my job to Vista, too. So on the weekends, he was working, and the kids and I would go up and cruise around. Now, it was too early to look for an apartment or a place to move, a house to rent or something. I knew that because of that bankruptcy, it would be pretty much impossible to get credit to buy a new home. But for the fun of it, we went looking at open houses that were for sale. And I have to tell you, I walked into this home, and it felt like my home. I loved it. It was two-story, had big picture window in the living room, big master bedroom, big picture. And I just knew it would be impossible to actually own that in my head. So I called my mom. Now, my mom's a longtime religious scientist. She found New Thought, Unity, and Religious Science when I was 12 years old. So she was steeped in this. She studied to be a practitioner and a minister. So I called her and said, Mom, I found this home and I love it, but you know, we can't buy it. And she said, okay. Just quit thinking like that. Just quit thinking like that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to picture yourself in that house. I want you to see yourself living there. And I did. I could, and I still can go back and see those visions of walking down the stairs, of being looking out the windows, of having breakfast in the kitchen. I lived in the vision of what my heart wanted, which is what science of mind teaches us, which is what our philosophy teaches us. The whole idea is to quit focusing on the things that don't work, the ways in which we may have failed or others have failed us, but steep ourselves in what our heart wants. And here's what happened. A miracle. Of course we lived in that house for 20 years. Of course we bought that home. And it was easy. All my husband had to do was write a letter saying why that would never happen again. No, it's not my fault. And then we sold a car for a down payment. We only had two cars, but we were both working in Vista by then, and I could drop them off of work and go to work. And so, you know, it worked. Beautiful home. Actually, my daughter lives there now. I don't know if we know how powerful we are to create what we really, really want. The invitation is to really step into that. There's a book called Creative Mind and Success by Ernest Holmes, and I just opened it up and read some fabulous things, and I meant to bring it to you, read it to you today, but he says clearly that we must keep our mind stayed on what our heart wants. He says, have a millionaire consciousness. Have a millionaire consciousness. You know, sometimes we go, I don't need to be a millionaire. I've got enough. Some of us have enough, yeah? And some of us would like more, but it doesn't matter. Having a millionaire consciousness is being in the flow of creation itself. It's like feeling right now as if I could go on that cruise to wherever or give millions of dollars to those in need. So number one, let go of the past. Number two, begin to embody, live in the vision, create it. And part of going into the quiet is to create that vision, to see what you really want and begin to feel how it would be to experience that. That's the place we need to be living now. As we look to the holidays, how do you want that experience to be? What's it going to be like? As you look at the things in your life you'd like to change, maybe get rid of, maybe embrace, start to picture that. Use the power of imagination. You know, Neville says imagination is God. Imagination is our God power because that is the place of creation. So imagine it, and then every chance you get, and especially when that crap comes up from the past, go there instead. Just whoosh, put up the stop sign and go to what you do want instead of thinking about what you don't want. Are you ready to do that with me?
Yes.
Praise God. I'm so glad. True freedom comes from accepting with forgiveness and love that what we have been through and vanquishing the hold it has on us, bringing the golden treasure back from the cave of our darker depths. Ooh, I'm going to read that again. That's from Bridget Annan McNeil. True freedom comes from accepting with forgiveness and love what we have been through and vanquishing the hold it has on us, bringing the golden treasure back from the cave of our darker depths. Ah, no guilt, no unforgiveness, total freedom. Ernest Holmes says, put every negative thought out of your mind once and for all. Be still and let your imagination build the future. Ah. I'm going to read another quote from Johannes Gutag. He says, the most amazing things happen when we make a commitment. So not only get the vision, but commit yourself to live in it. He says, all the forces of the universe gather beyond our comprehension, beyond our immediate power, beyond your understanding. All support, all funds, all guidance, all intuition come from the moment you make a commitment. So say yes to yourself. Say yes to what your heart wants. It's just amazing to me what's possible. And it's so easy to limit ourselves. I could have just said, oh, well, we've had a bankruptcy, forget it, you know. I'll tell you another story. I don't think I've told you this one yet, but there was a time when I was in the lazy butt period of my life. My husband is an athlete. He, like, you know, hikes and runs 8 miles and whatever, or did at the time. And I I'm not an athlete. And sometimes we need a good excuse to not do those things, right? So I manifested a real problem with my feet. No cartilage between my toes. Have I told you this story yet? I don't think so. No. And so we went to the podiatrist, and he saw the x-rays. There's no cartilage. And my toes hurt to walk. They hurt to bend. So I tried to walk with flat feet, and I would walk kind of slowly, trying not to bend my big toe, you know. And so I'm an usher at the Old Globe. So it's frustrating because you have to walk a long way to get there. And then, you know, I have to walk slowly, and everybody else was nice and walked slowly with me. Well, so here's the thing. When we get quiet and we listen and we ask and we open ourselves to the possibilities, there is an answer. And I got a clear message in meditation that I needed to walk. My body wanted to move. So I told my husband, I'm always going to him and say, hey, this is what I got in my meditation, you know. I said, honey, I got that I need to walk. And he is so good. He said, I'm with you, I'll do it. So we would go to this park near our home that has a track. 3 times around the track is 1 mile. I could go about halfway around the track and then just go back because my feet hurt so bad. But we started to go almost every day. And he's walking slow with me, patient, loving, the guy that likes to hike fast, you know. Amazing. I'm for you. And so pretty soon, it's interesting. My body loved the walking. My feet did not. But over time, my feet began to tune out. And I want you to know that probably within 3 months, I was walking 2 miles. And here's the thing. No pain. All right, I want you to watch this. I wish this stage was even bigger. Just want you to see this. This is a demonstration. See, I'm bending my toes. They do not hurt. And I do not know if the cartilage regrew or if the nerves all died. I have no idea. And I don't care. It works. So, here's the thing. We don't have to figure out the how, do we? It's easy. I almost always end my spiritual mind treatments, my affirmative prayer, with, I let go and let the divine wisdom handle the details. I let go and let God handle the details. I don't have to figure out the how. I just need to embody the what. Really fully live it. Ah, yes. So, let go of the past. Create what you want in your mind and begin to live as though it is already done. The third thing I want to talk about, happiness and fulfillment, is awakening and giving. This is a season of giving. And we feel fulfilled when we are doing something that makes a difference to others, to the world, to a pet, whatever. So many people here in this community are in service in so many ways. And I am deeply grateful because you help create the experience we have that helps everybody here and those whose lives we touch begin to be the light, the love, the truth of who they really are. So I want you to take a moment in your own mind and think about the ways you give. Whether it's in service, a smile. Did you know that when you smile, even if the person does not smile back, neuropeptides that boost the immune system are released in their body? So if you've only smiled at someone, give yourself credit. I want you to think about your generosity, the flow of money that you give. Give yourself some credit for just a few minutes and feel fulfilled, satisfied, happy about the wonder that you are in the world, the lives you touch, the places you make a difference. I think it's really important that we take a little time to do that, to give ourselves credit. So give freely, joyfully. Give your gift, what is uniquely yours to give. You know, it's interesting because I've been serving as a volunteer our organization, Centers for Spiritual Living, for years and years and years. And in February, my terms were up. I was the regional support coordinator. I supported about 40 communities in Southern California and Hawaii by checking in regularly, going there and supporting them if their minister left and if there were challenges. I was also chair of the minister council, and both those terms were coming to an end, and I was going to retire in February. So March 1st, I'd be free. And then Charlie Shepherd, who's chair of the practitioner council, called me and said, "Hey, Sharon, have you thought about running for field leader?" We have two top leaders in our whole international organization, the spiritual leader and the field leader. Spiritual leader is outward facing to the world. Who are we? Shows up at AGNT and explains new thought to people. Shows up to say, this is Centers for Spiritual Living all around the world. The field leader is the inward facing person, responsible for the health, well-being, success of all of our ministries around the world. We have about 400 ministries around the world. And responsible for education, ethics, licensing, and credentialing, many committees and councils. So I just laughed when he asked me, "Have you thought about running for field leader?" And said, "I don't think so." And then he proceeded to tell me why he thought I should. And you know what happened is I got a hit. I went, "Oh my gosh, I could do this. I'd be good at this. I should do this." So I threw my name in the hat. And there were five people originally that were going to run for that position. And then in the end, only two of us stood for the election. People dropped out. I don't know what happens with that. We right now need more people running for the elected offices. I don't know if yesterday was the deadline. I don't know when the deadline is. Anyway, we need more people that are just members to run for member council, members to run for the leadership council. We need practitioners to run for the practitioner council. We have elections once a year. They are at our annual convention this year. It'll be the first part of March. Anyway, so I threw my hat, and by golly, here I am. I never would have made that up. I never would have dreamed. And here's the thing. I love it. I'm good at it. I know how to do this. It's my place. My husband's a little disappointed because he thought I was retiring, but he's 1,000% supportive. We've been together 30 years. Many of you know he was the answer to prayer in Science of Mind, too. So many years ago, he's the light of my life. So see, this stuff works. Let go of the past. Embrace your heart's desire and give. Give yourself. That's how I got here. I was doing what I love. So giving should be what's easy, what brings you joy, what lights you up, yes? And when you do those three things, what happens is you step into your magnificence. We have a purpose in Centers for Spiritual Living, and we have a vision. Our vision is a world that works for everyone. Our purpose is awakening humanity to its spiritual magnificence. That's what we're about, waking up. So it's about loving yourself enough to give yourself the freedom to be magnificent. Are you ready to do that? I'm magnificent. Ah, feels so good. All right, would you just repeat after me? I'm magnificent.
I'm magnificent.
I'm the presence of love.
I'm the presence of
I am the light in the world.
I am the light in the world.
I live in abundance.
I live in abundance.
I overflow with deep peace. I make a difference wherever I go.
I know this.
I accept it.
And so it is.
Praise God. Woohoo! Praise God. Love you guys. Thank you. I love to end with a little quiet time of going within prayer. If you'd join me, just take a moment to just become fully present and aware of the divine, the love of God that is the very core of my being, true for each one of us. We are the light. We are the love. We are the life, uniquely expressing in our own way. And right here and right now, I speak my word for each person here, those we love, and the world, knowing that we are one, that the wisdom of the infinite is flowing through each one, meeting whatever the need is, releasing what has been, opening to the joy of what is yet to be, and to the present moment, the joy of being here now, living life fully. I know that from this moment forward, we feel that sense of being guided, of moving gracefully and easily through life, of feeling fulfilled and happy because of who we are and all we do, that our path is well lit, that it's just a piece of cake to be who we are in life, that we are free to express our joy, our love, our abundance out into the world, touching lives, awakening humanity to its magnificence through all we do. We truly are the light. And I know that from this moment forward, that light is shining brightly. It's a beautiful thing. The words spoken here, I know, are simply a revelation of what is already true. So I can let go and let God handle the details as life unfolds beautifully and perfectly for each and every person here, bringing harmony, love, understanding, clarity, peace, wisdom here in our lives and around the world. And will you join me as we affirm this together by saying, and so it is. Praise God. Music. Love you all.